The Gospel of John. I was talking with somebody yesterday about the Gospels, and you know, there's four Gospels. If it was just one person that wrote down what Jesus did, we would question it a lot and be like, well, are you really right? But it's four different people that wrote down the life of Jesus, and they all agree. Nobody contradicts the other. Now, somebody might have a certain perspective than the other guy had, but they don't contradict one another. And that's very important. And that means that we can depend upon the accuracy of the gospel. Archaeologists, they talk about how dependable this account is, that it's historically accurate in every respect. And they keep trying to find ways in which it's not right and imagine things that are not true, and they can't do it. But here in John chapter 15, we will read about the secret of a fruitful life. The secret of a fruitful life is also the foundation of the joy of the Lord. You know, a lot of people are depressed or discouraged, or they find so many things to be unhappy about. And when a Christian has genuine joy, that is a real attractive thing. It's like, wow, that person really is happy. It's true joy. And this is what we will talk about today, the foundation of that joy. John chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. Why don't you stand with me as we read together the Word of God. John 15, chapter 1. I mean, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You may be seated. Father, I ask that you would please open up to us the understanding that we need to have of this, your word. I pray that you would reveal the truth in our ears. I pray that you would help this truth to take root in hearts that are ready to receive it. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide my words and that you would help us to understand what you want us to see. I pray this, Lord, not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, which I have through his blood and his sacrifice upon the cross. All of this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share this with you today about abiding in Christ. Not because I have it down, but because I need the reminder. And I think at the beginning of this year, 2020, the start of our year, I think it's very important for us to remember this important truth. When you talk about primary and secondary, and I don't know if they'd say tertiary or thirdiary, I don't think that's even a word. But when you talk about primary and secondary issues in the Bible, this one right here is all the way in the primary category. This is absolutely vital and incredibly important and one of the main building blocks of our relationship with the Lord and our ability to make a difference where we are planted. Abiding in Him. Excuse me. That may be why the enemy tries so hard to get us to forget about it. Because it's so very important. And he tries very actively to get us to ignore the idea of abiding in Christ. And to forget about it. Just get all busy and all bothered, kind of like Martha did, with getting things done and doing. And we tend to forget about being, about abiding, about dwelling in Christ. Well, first of all, we have to ask this question. What does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide? Well, sometimes looking up good old English definitions is very helpful. The word abide in English means to rest or dwell, to tarry or stay for a short time, to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm and immovable, to wait for, to be prepared for, to await. The Greek word that is in this passage translated abide in me is meno, and it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It's translated abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, and tarry. That Greek word is translated into all those different English words in different places depending on the context and other factors. That's what it means to abide, to dwell or continue. To abide in Him is to rest in Him, to stop moving and just be within Christ. To just be. Stop bustling and moving about in our hearts or in our actions. It's essentially the difference between doing and being. And you might be saying there, what is the difference between doing and being? What are you talking about? Come on, give me an idea what you're saying here. It's kind of the, if you picture a baby in the womb. We have a baby in the womb right over here. That baby is not doing anything. They're just being, right? Just existing. They're not, you know, when a baby is in the womb, they're not working on something. They're not building anything. They're just abiding there and growing, right? They might kick a little bit. You know, like, boom. Or a lot of it. Yeah, or roll over or flip. Exactly. Or punch you. Yeah, I know, right? Crazy. But they really are not doing anything. They are being. They are existing. They're abiding in their mother. They're abiding there. That child is just growing. And that's the spiritual state that we are describing here. To abide in Christ is not to get busy for Christ, it's to dwell within Christ. It's to be there. It's that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. That's abiding in Christ, being still. quieting your soul and abiding. Here's a working definition. Abiding in Christ is the calm and peaceful position of rest within the love of the Father, allowing our soul to be still in the presence of Christ, to dwell in the knowledge that our identity and effectiveness is found in Him. Our identity is found in Him. That's very, very important. And this isn't a sermon about our identity in Christ, but we find our identity in Him. And so when we are struggling with our sense of self or our sense of who we are as an individual, we should go to abide in Him, because that is where we find our identity. Who we really are is defined by who Christ is and who He is in us. Does that make sense? That's who I am. And the devil will come to me and say, you're a failure. You're an idiot. He'll come and he'll say, you're a wicked, horrible sinner. You are this. You are that. But the truth is that my identity is not found in those things and those accusations. My identity is found in the person of Jesus Christ and what He has done. So who He is, He is a son of the living God. He's the son. And I am a son in Him, or a daughter, if you're a daughter. But I am a child of God in Him. He is victorious over the darkness, and I am victorious over the darkness in Him. He is a triumphant champion. I am in Him a triumphant champion. And when I want to know who I am, if I want to find my identity in this world, I need to abide in Christ. Because who He is who I am. Abiding in Christ has nothing to do with our worthiness or our strength. The stronger a spiritual giant may be has nothing to do with their ability to abide in Christ. Our abiding in Him is based only on His work, His worthiness, not on any goodness I have in me. So, you know, you look at your life and you see maybe all the bad things you've done, and you say, well, I'm not worthy to abide in Christ. Or maybe you look at your life and you see all the good things you've done, and you say, well, maybe I could abide in Christ. No, that has nothing to do with it. Your worthiness or your strength or your abilities have zero to do with abiding, because it's not about doing anything. It's about being. It's about stopping and just dwelling in the presence of Christ. That is abiding in Him. Christ gives us a great illustration about this topic in His sermon here. He's teaching His disciples, and He's telling them about abiding in Him, and He gives them an example. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. That's the illustration He gives to them. The branches and the vine. And if you were to stop and say, where does that branch end and the vine begin? Or where does the vine stop and the branch start? You'd have a hard time figuring that out. Is it right here? Or is it right here? Or is it back here? No, this is definitely vine and this is definitely branch. But where does the change happen? It's hard to tell because they are connected. They are united. They have the same life within each other. They are one, yet distinct, just like the Trinity is. The Trinity is three distinct pieces that are all one. They're one, yet distinct. And we are one with Christ, yet distinct from Him. There's a writer who I encourage you to read. He's written many, many books about the deeper Christian life. And his name is Andrew Murray. He was a missionary and pastor in South Africa in the late 1800s, I believe. And he was an amazing man, but he wrote a book about the vine and the branches. And he says this about this topic. I want to read it to you. The connection between the vine and the branch is a living one. No external temporary union will suffice. No work of man can effect it. The branch, whether an original or an engrafted one, is such only by the Creator's own work, in virtue of which the life, the sap, the fatness, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicate themselves to the branch. And just so it is with the believer too. His union with his Lord is no work of human wisdom or human will, but an act of God by which the closest and most complete life union is effected between the Son of God and the sinner. It's about being a channel of the fruitfulness of the divine. That's what abiding in him is all about. And you know, really, if you want to begin to abide in him, the best thing you could do is say, Lord, please do it. Just ask for it. Because there is one thing that you can literally do to help you abide in him, but we'll talk about that in a minute. To be continued. Number two question I want us to ask about this passage is, why is abiding so important? We've tried to define what abiding is. Why is it important to abide? Look at verse 5 of chapter 15. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If we are not abiding in Christ, we can do nothing. It is an essential part. It is the part of fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. To be fruitful in our walks, to be fruitful in our life, in our relationships, in our family relationships, or our relationships with those at work, or just anyone. To see fruit in God's kingdom requires us to abide in him. That's why it's so important. We can do nothing without him. If we try to do good things in the world and we leave Christ out, there will be no lasting fruit. There can be good things done. There's plenty of organizations just in our country that seek to do good unto other people, but they leave Jesus out of it. And so there's temporal fruit, temporary fruit, but no lasting eternal fruit if Jesus is left out. But when you add Jesus in, everything works out. It's completely different. We could feed the poor, we could speak eloquently, we could give money away, we could move mountains in faith, we could preach the greatest sermon ever, we could lead a Bible study, we could evangelize our friends, but if we're not abiding in the Lord, we can do nothing. There will be no fruit. Andrew Murray again says, to the vine, speaking of the branch, to the vine it owes its right of place in the vineyard, its life, and its fruitfulness. And so the Lord says, without me ye can do nothing. The believer can each day be pleasing to God only in that which he does through the power of Christ dwelling in him. The daily inflowing of the life sap of the Holy Spirit is his only power to bring forth fruit. He lives alone in him and is for each moment dependent on him alone. That's why it's so important to abide in him, is because we cannot be fruitful without him. Abiding in Christ is also necessary to bring forth much fruit. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 8 says that bearing much fruit is the test of a disciple. He says, if you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. You want to be disciple of Christ? We need to bear much fruit. And the key to bearing much fruit is abiding in him. To bear fruit in the world is one of the greatest things that we are called to do as disciples of Christ. To see others come to the Lord, to see marriages restored, to see people healed of diseases, to see the wounds of souls covered up and healed up, to see the fruit of God's power in the world is an incredibly exciting and happy thing. But it requires us. Its necessary foundation is abiding in Christ. Friends, a lot of Christians need to get this through their thick skulls. I raise my hand as one of them. We cannot be effective in the world in bringing fruit unto his kingdom if we are not abiding in him. Now, there's probably varying degrees, and you know, sometimes you get busy in life and things are going crazy and you just, you know, all kinds of things going on and you're doing and you're doing and you're doing, and you kind of tend to drift a little bit from maybe fully abiding in his presence and dwelling in him. And so maybe you got to take a day and you get away from the world, or you maybe take a fast of some sort. You just kind of sit down. Then you kind of get back to center, so to speak. So this kind of ebbs and flows a little bit here. But the bottom line, the most important thing to remember, is that a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It has to be connected to the source of life, and that is the true vine, Jesus Christ. If we do not abide in the vine, we wither. Verse 6, he says that we wither if we do not abide in the vine. The Greek word here for wither means to shrivel, to dry up and pine away. What happens to a spiritual branch that is withered? If you are a spiritual branch and you're withering on the vine, what does that look like? Well, a vine that withers bears no fruit. A vine that withers does not have fruit on the end. There's no lasting spiritual results from the work that you do. A vine that is withered and has no or very little life sap from the vine, a branch that is withered, has no life sap from the vine, it breaks easily. It's very brittle. If it's got a lot of sap in there, it's flexible. If it's got only almost no sap, it snaps. It's brittle. I think that represents anger. It represents a frustration and tension that just blasts out of us so easily. We have a short temper. It means that we're probably not dwelling in the power of Christ. What about depression or lack of joy? If there's a lack of joy in our life, it means that we're probably not abiding in Christ. Now, look, depression is a deep topic, and there's a lot of causes for it, and it's not a sin to be discouraged. But I think it is a sin to despair, to give up our hope. Sometimes that's very hard, but we should not despair. And if there is a lack of joy or there's an overwhelming depression in our life, maybe we're not connected to the source of life the way we ought to be. How many aspects of Christianity, quote-unquote Christianity, are withered today, do you think? The Church of God is sick. All over this country especially, but in Western civilization as a whole, the Church of God is sick and is withering. How many places are withering on the vine because they are not abiding in Christ? But then I stop and I ask myself, how many parts of my life are withering, are not as strong as they need to be, are not alive and vibrant because I haven't been abiding in him? It brings it home. Every time you point a finger at someone else, you got three more pointing back at you, right? We need to remember that we are not above these failures ourselves. And it's very wise for us, especially at the beginning of a new year, to stop and ask ourselves these questions. How does Christ connect joy and abiding? Well, in verse 11, it says this. Jesus said in verse 11 of chapter 15, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I want you to have fullness of joy. I want my joy to remain. That is, nobody can take it away from you. These things. What things has he spoken? I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. That is the key. Hey Siri, how do we abide in Christ? See? God just gave us a joke right there just to make us laugh. He says the purpose of him saying all this about, I mean, that was 10 verses of teaching about the vine and the branches. This is pivotal biblical stuff. And he says, I've said this to you so that my joy will remain in you and your joy might be full. He's connecting abiding in Christ to the joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we find strength and life by abiding in him because it increases our joy. Do you find your joy to be lacking? Do you find an inability to be truly joyful? That doesn't mean there aren't sad things that happen. You can be joyful and sad at the same time. Is there a lack of joy in your life? Abide in him. Go to Christ and abide in him. You might be surprised at the change in your attitude. It probably won't change anything about your circumstances. It just will change your perspective on them. If we will go to Christ and abide in him. Just sit still in his presence. Just be with him and know that he is God. And it could be that you find incredible strength to endure the trial you're facing. You'll have joy and hope in the midst of those trials. So we've talked about what abiding is and why it is so important. We've talked about the connection between abiding in him and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Now, how do I abide? How do I abide, preacher? Okay, you convinced me. This is important. How do I abide? How does it happen? That's a very hard question to answer. You see, we often look for something we can do. Give me something I can grab a hold of, I can apply. I want to do something to make this happen. When the fact of the matter is, abiding in Christ is not about doing, it's about being. And he says, I just want you to be. Just be. Stop trying so hard to do. Stop trying so hard to do it in your own strength and just be with me. Just abide. Just dwell. Just continue. Just tarry. You know what tarry is? Okay, if I'm walking really fast across the church here, and I'm moving along and I got things to do, and you know I'm trying to deliver all this chicken over here. You know that's what I do every day. You know, run back and forth. I got a number one here and a Coke, thank you, sir. And I run back and get some more, and I do it over and over 100 times a day, right? And I'm moving. And what happens when you tarry is when you go, whoop. Oh, I'm gonna tarry here a second, and I stop and I say, oh, I see. This little child wants more to drink. Okay, buddy, let me get you more to drink. And I tarry a moment, and I help him get what he needs. I'm running to and fro, and then I slow down and I stop and I tarry. That's kind of like that phrase, stop and smell the roses. You're running through life, and then you slow down, you stop, and you go, okay, hang on a second. There's something of incredible beauty right here. I'm going to stop and I'm going to enjoy it. That's what needs to happen in our souls. Our life gets really busy. We go and we go, we do, and we got all kinds of things that have to happen and need to be done. Pay attention to me right now, da, 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 and then we need to stop and just be and just dwell. Tarry for a moment and enjoy the beauty that is the presence of God. If we would do that more, we'd see a lot more fruitfulness in our life. We'd see a lot more calmness and peace. We'd see a lot more joy in the midst of the trials we face. If we would just slow down, tarry for a second, and smell the sweet smelling savor of the presence of God. There's another good illustration of this in the Bible. When Mary and Martha were visiting with Jesus, well, Mary was visiting, Martha was serving. Now, was Martha committing sins? Was she doing evil, horrible things? No, she wasn't. She was serving Christ. She was serving the Messiah. She was doing all kinds of important things that she was just running all over the house and, oh, we got to get the bread out of the oven. We got to get the figs all, you know, well, whatever you do with figs. Do you pit them, I guess? I don't know. You know, we got to get all this stuff ready because, oh, I want to serve the Lord the best I got to give him. And I'm going to give him my absolute excellence. And that's not a wrong thing to do. But the better thing that to happen was to sit at the feet of Jesus and enjoy his presence as Mary was doing. And Martha said, Lord, why don't you tell Mary to get up and help me? There's so much to do and she could be serving too. And he said, Mary has chosen that one needful thing that shall not be taken from her. The most important part of this story was what Mary was doing. Martha was not doing wrong things, but she was doing them maybe out of order. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying his presence, and she was praised by the Lord for that. And we need a little more Mary in our lives, don't we? We need a little less Martha. Amen, Tom? A little more Mary. We love Mary. Marys are good. You see, faith plays a pivotal role in abiding in him. Believing that I really am a branch in the true vine and that what he said is true. When it comes to being in the presence of Christ, faith is important. We have to believe that what he said is right. That he says, I am the vine and you are the branch, and I believe I am a branch. And when I slow my heart and slow my soul and tarry in his presence, that he is filling me with his power, filling me with his love, infusing himself into me when I stop and abide in his presence. Faith is very important. I have to believe it. I have to believe that when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I have to believe that's true. I have to believe that when he says, I am in you and you are in me. If you abide in me, you shall bring forth much fruit. Faith is pivotal. However, the Lord also gives us a very, very practical piece of advice for abiding in him. And that is to keep his word. To keep his word. What does keeping mean? Well, I've spoken of this before, but I'm going to remind you again. Keeping, the Greek word tereo, and it means to guard from loss or injury. Keeping the eye upon, it means to hold fast, to observe or watch. Let's look at the passage here where Jesus says it. Verse 10 in chapter 15. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If, such an important word, two letters, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That is abiding in him, abiding in his love and his presence. If you keep my commandments. Well, a lot of people all over the world, when they read that, they think, oh, I got to obey the commandments. Keeping does not mean obeying. Obedience comes from keeping. It is connected. You can't really keep it and not obey it. Obedience comes from it, but keeping is different. The way to illustrate that is if I say, and I love my wonderful sisters and my mother who so often watch my children, if I say to you, would you please come over this evening and keep my children? Am I asking you to come over and obey them? No, I'm not. Would you come over and keep my kids? I'm not saying, would you please come over and obey my kids? Keep is not automatically the same word as obey. It means to watch, to observe, to care for, to keep from killing one another. No, that's not the literal definition, but that is what it means when I say, please come keep my kids. It means please don't let them kill each other. But it means hold fast, to watch and observe. The best way to keep the word is to meditate upon it. The best way to keep the commandments of Christ is to meditate upon them, to look at them, to chew on them, to ask questions about them, to ruminate on them, to dwell in the word of God, is to meditate upon it, to not see how much I can read, but how how deep I can go. To meditate upon God's word is the path. Jesus says it. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandments. Are we keeping the commandments? See, in spite of the fact that this is all about being, it's all about faith and trusting in him, he still says there's something that you could do to make this become more real in your life, and that is to dwell in the word of God. John 1 says that Jesus is the Word. This right here is not just a book with pages in it. It doesn't just have words and letters and ink. This is the living Word of God. It's alive. The things that are in here are alive because they are a representation, they are a personification in some way of the Word, the Logos of God, the revealed Word of God, which is Jesus Christ himself. So when we abide in the Scriptures, we are abiding in Christ. He really is the Word. The words, the literal words in here are there to reveal Christ to us, to draw us into him. We find strength, we find joy, we find fruitfulness in the Word of God. And this is not the only place he said it. How about 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, that means truly, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You see, Jesus said, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Here in 1 John, he says again, if you're not keeping the word of God, you do not abide in him. If you say, I abide in him, but you don't keep the word, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. And he says, if you do keep his word, then is the love of God perfected in us. Then in chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Friends, I couldn't say it any clearer than that. God is telling us if we keep his commandments, we dwell in him. So we talked about how this is vital for the fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. We talked about how we can't do anything right, not with lasting value, apart from Christ. And how important abiding in him is. And he says, this is the way. This is the way to dwell in him, to keep his commandments, to watch over intently, to observe and abide in the The Word of God is the foundation of the joy of the Lord and the key, the secret to fruitfulness in the kingdom. Do you want to bring lost souls to Christ? Do you desire that in your life? Abide in Him. The pathway to souls redeemed is to abide in Him. Do you want to be a better parent or a grandparent? Abide in Him. Do you want to be a better student, a better son or daughter, a better husband or wife? Abide in Him. Do you want your wounds healed? The wounds in your soul, those that don't go away easy? Abide in Him. Do you want to heal the wounds of others? Do you want to disciple someone to passionately love God, go from just salvation into the deeper walk with God? Do you want to do that? Abide in Him. Whatever fruitfulness, whatever good you desire to see come from your life, abide in Him. Dwell in Him. Continue in Him. Tarry in Him. It's the only way we can bear any fruit. Without Him, we can do nothing. So this year, friends, I purpose to abide in Him more faithfully, to continue in His Word, because that is the way to abide in Him. That is the kind of reminder we all need. I needed that reminder today. I didn't know God was leading me in this direction until this morning. And I looked at this and I thought, this is exactly what I need to hear. All of us, no matter where we go or what we do, if we want to see fruitfulness in the kingdom, if we want to experience the joy of the Lord that passes all understanding, if we want to see people come to Christ and relationships healed and people on fire for God, we need to abide. We need to stop thinking it depends on me and realize that it just depends on Him. He is the true source of life in this world. And we need to tap into that life a little better. At least I do. Maybe you don't feel convicted by this, but I sure do. Maybe I haven't done a good job of communicating the principles here, but I hope the Holy Spirit has helped you to understand how incredibly foundational this is to the Christian walk. And how important it is that we believe that Jesus was right when He told us, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in Me and you will bring forth much fruit. We need to trust that He will bring forth fruit if I will focus on abiding in Him. How can I do that? Practically speaking, abiding in Him means spending time here. Spend a time here. And more than just 5 minutes a day to keep the devil away. That's not what He's talking about. To look at intently, to observe, to watch over, to meditate upon those scriptures requires a little more than 5 minutes, usually. If that's all you got, it's all you got. But let's try to carve out at least 15. Maybe we carve out 30 minutes in one verse. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Spend some time chewing on it, because you'll find a source of life in the scriptures that will bring forth incredible fruit that we have no idea about. We cannot even imagine what God will do through a life that is dwelling in Him. Let's pray. Lord, You know how far we fall short of Your standards. You know how how much we want this, but how difficult it is for us. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, please, to sit at your feet, to dwell in your presence, to abide in your love. Help us to keep your commandments so that we will abide in your love. Lord, it's love that changes people's lives. You are love personified. Please help us. Please help us. Father, forgive us where we have tried to do it on our own and have neglected our time with you. And we have neglected our time in your presence. Help us to make this a regular part of our entire day, that we would not leave your presence when we rise from our knees, but that we would walk in your presence all the time. That you would abide in us, and we would abide in you. And we ask that you would do this for the glory of your kingdom, so that we might see your hand at work in the world. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.